Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our midweek services here at Crossroads.
Thank you.
The staff is away. They're on their annual planning retreat. But never fear, we were left with some notes and some instructions, which we will follow. I do want to point out one change in the order of service so you don't think that we're overlooking anything. The song portion of our service will be at the end of the service, before prayer time. So you have plenty of time to kind of limber up your voice there at your seats. As I said, the staff is away. I think maybe one of the reasons that they chose to have the songs later is because I was going to do the opening prayer and get started, and they were a little concerned about me singing with a mic in my hand. No one would think that was a good idea. So, I do have some announcements, though, to get us started this evening, and I just want to remind you, on Sunday, it's the first of our Sunday missions services, so you want to make sure that you're here to learn all about that. On this Sunday, I believe it's also the next Sunday. Also, Sunday begins our growth groups, the fall growth groups. If you haven't already signed up for one of those, we'd encourage you to do so. Great benefits in having small group studies. And if you've seen the card with all of the, there was a lineup of topics and sites and speakers, you'll find something surely that will interest you, fall in line with your schedule. They're held Sundays and Wednesdays, a couple other nights of the week as well. So whatever suits you the best. Remember in October, we have our Fall Fun Fest, and we need candy for that, so keep that in mind too. That'll come up very quickly here. Let me just add one item. That is that make sure that you're in prayer for the staff that is away. They are planning for the rest of this year as well as 2026, so keep them in your prayers, and we'll have prayer time at the end of the service as we do customarily. But the fact that they're away accounts for me being here, and it'll account for three others that will be up here as well this evening. So let's open up with a word of prayer, and then Brother Mike Wells will be speaking tonight. Lord God, we do praise you and thank you for this evening that we can gather together, Lord. We love you, and you're such a good, good God. And Lord, just the way that you provide for us and care for us. And Lord God, we just ask now that you would open hearts and minds, and that we would be open and receptive to the teaching and preaching of your word. Be with Brother Mike as he would present your word. And Lord, we just look forward to the evening and then the time to fellowship afterwards. We just put all this up to you and ask that you would bless throughout. And we pray all this in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Mike?
Well, good evening. How's everybody doing this evening? Good. Good to see you out on Wednesday night. And the weather's nice. How many of you like fall way better than summer? Yeah, there's my people. Amen. Not only because of the weather, but, you know, football starts. So that's always important as well. But take your Bibles. Revelation chapter number 1. We'll pick up right where Brother Rebass left off, and we're not going there. It's just not. That's a joke for Pastor. So he'll get it. He's going to start a brand new series of Revelation in January, and he said, he was telling them about Brother Rebass came up last week and started preaching in Revelation 1. He said, preach anything you want. Just stay away from Revelation if you don't mind. And I got a series I'm already planning for it. So that was just for him. Whenever he listens, we'll joke. Hebrews chapter number 10 toward me. Hebrews chapter number 10, as you flip there in your Bible, we're gonna do a couple things a little different tonight. And this is a little different message than I normally preach. You know, there's lots of ways you can study your Bible, lots of ways to preach the Bible as well. And, you know, I like doing it in all kinds of ways. It says variety is the spice of life, if you've ever heard that. And of course, my favorite way is the kind of way Pastor does. It's expository, just preach right through a passage and pull right out of the Bible exactly what the truth is, give the context and all that stuff, and preach right through a book or a passage of the Bible. And then there's, you know, they teach other ways to preach. There's topics, right? You can pick a topic. Let's preach on a topic on the night. And you call it topical preaching. And by the way, this is great ways to study your Bible as well. Don't always just read straight through. If you, you know, sometimes you get a little tired of that, go pick a topic and find everywhere the Bible talks about that topic and study it that way. And then there's another way you can do it. And this is probably one of my favorite ways to study things. I like words. How many of you like words? And I like to do just simple word studies throughout the Bible. And by the way, if you've never done that as part of your devotions, let me encourage you sometime. Just pick a word and go find everywhere the Bible uses that word. And I tell you, it'll bless you. It'll really help you make it part of your routine just to keep not only your devotions fresh and new, but maybe a different way to view things in a different way. And studying the words is, again, a great way to do that. You know, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable. So all Scripture means every word is perfect. Every word is important. And Proverbs 30, verse 15 tells us every word is pure. The psalmist said this in Psalm 12, 17, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, and thou shalt preserve them from this generation forward." So God's got a pure word. Every word is pure. Every word is inspired. Every word is preserved for us. And I just say all that to say this. Words are important. Would you agree with that? God puts an emphasis on words. And I heard a comedian talking one time about folks here in the South and how we sometimes take a bunch of words and just make it one word. Y'all know what we're talking about? You know, the most famous one, right? Did you eat yet? That's, you know, we make that into one word. Did you eat yet? You know, so you think about some things like that we do. And one other comedian was talking about his mom, and then when he was growing up, he said she would take a bunch of words and she'd put them all in one word, and you just had to listen. And you know, one of the examples he uses, what you're not going to do is come in here with those dirty shoes. What you're not going to do, made it all one word. What you're not going to do is leave our refrigerator to work. Anybody have a mom that talk like that or grandmother talk like that? And I tell you, when they do, you better not do that because they mean that. And what you're not going to do is tell me no. Well, what I am going to do tonight is preach on one word. It's a little different. We're going to take one word and we're going to go through the Bible. And we're not going to cover every instance of it, or we'd be here at least 28 hours. So, but we're going to look at maybe five different instances of the word never in the Word of God. The word never. So turn with me, if you're not already there, Hebrews chapter 10. That's where we're going to kick off. But do this. You get your fingers loose because we're going to flip around a little bit tonight. There's no screens, as you can see. So you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. We'll flip in the Bible as we get to each one, and we're going to look up and look at this word never. What can we learn from this word as we dig in to the Word of God? Hebrews chapter 10. Give me an amen if you're there.
Amen.
Bear with me. All right, verse number one, where we'll kick off. Our kickoff verse, then I'll pray and we'll get started tonight. Verse number one, Hebrews chapter 10 says this: "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can," what's that next word?
Never.
Never. Now, if you'd like to write in your Bible, circle in your Bible, whatever, I got mine circled, highlighted. I like to do that. You don't need to. I understand that. We're all a little different. But can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Let's pray. Father, I just pray as tonight we just do a simple little word study together in the house of the Lord, that you take this word never and ingrain it into our heads, Lord, the truths that we're going to see from this one word. And may we be changed as a result, encouraged as a result, maybe even challenged as a result, Lord, to implement the truths we're going to learn about this word never tonight. In Jesus' name, we'll give you all the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I think about the word never, I decided to look it up. So I went to Webster's Dictionary, and I looked up the word never, and here's the definition. Not ever, at no time, in no case, not at all, in no degree. Then have you ever heard of synonyms? Yeah, I didn't do very good in English, as y'all can tell. But you know, a synonym is something that's very similar that means about the same thing. So I looked up some synonyms for the word never. And here's some of them. Don't hold your breath. No way. Not on your life. Not under any condition. Not at any time. Not at any place. Not any person. by, or not by any means, totally impossible. Now you put all that together, that's what the word never means. Think about all those things we just read. And I don't know about you, the more I got to reading about the word never, the more I got to liking it. And then I got into the Word of God and started looking everywhere it was used. Where's the word never? And I started even liking the word never even more. And I hope you will too, as we go through just a few places in the New Testament tonight where the word never appears. And so the first one, we just read the text a moment ago. I simply call this the straightest narrow. The straightest narrow. The straightest never. Look with me again back in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of things to come, or of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can, what's the word again? Never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continuing, make the comers thereunto perfect. Now flip down to verse number 11, the same chapter with me, and read what that says there. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can, what's the next word? Never take away sins. The whole book of Hebrews, if you study, I believe it's written to challenge some folks that had come out of legalism, come out of Judaism, and they've been saved by the grace of God. And the challenge is, don't go back to the law. Don't go back to the sacrificial system. Jesus has fulfilled the law. Simply put, I think the whole theme of the book is this: Jesus is better. How many of you agree Jesus is better? And I think that's the theme of this book. And so that's what he's writing to. So you think about that our text takes us back to kind of the law of the Old Testament tabernacle, then later the temple, and where Jesus would, before Jesus, when they had all those sacrifices, all those bullocks, all those lambs, and all those turtle doves, and various animals in the Old Testament that they would sacrifice at the tabernacle and then the temple. And they go through all those rituals, and they go through all those religious routines. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, all of those things, all that stuff, if you want to just call it that, could never make a person perfect, up in verse number 1, could never make the comers thereunto perfect. That literally has the idea of mature, complete, could never make them right with God. This may be a way to look at it. And those religious routines, if we look down verse 11 that we read, can also never take away sin. So you say, what's all that mean? What's that got to do with us? Those rituals, those routines, they were shadows, if you would. They were pointing forward to the one and forever sacrifice that was going to come, and that's Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, that one day on the cross of Calvary would fulfill it forever. And he said, well, how does that apply to us if this is in the New Testament? Well, can I tell you, we still have people who do rites and rituals today thinking they're going to get right with God. Today we got people that have a mistaken notion. If I run to a church, or if I give a bunch of money, or get in a class, or jump in the baptistry, or shake hands with the preacher, fill out some card, if I do any of these things, if I do a bunch of good works, I light candles, all these things, I'll be okay, I'll be all right with God. The rituals, the routines of the Old Testament, they're different than maybe what we see in the New Testament in our day to day. But listen, none of those things in our works can make us right with God. All of those things, hey, listen, they can never. Remember what it means? Not in any case, not in any situation, not in any place, not at any time. Totally impossible for those things to take away sin, is what it said. Can never take away sin. Now, you know, this is a Baptist church. I can tell you, somebody's amen right there, right? You know what I found in preaching around? Since I've stepped down from the pastorate and I preach at different churches all over the place, I found there's really three things that people primarily depend on to try to get right with God. And I just alliterate it because that's what we preachers do, right? I call it wafers, water, and works. Wafers, water, and works. And you go around and you'll have, there's churches and folks that believe, hey, run to the church and put a cracker on your tongue and you're going to be all right with God. Or run to the, you know, get in the baptistry, get wet, get in the water, you'll be all right with God. Or perform more good works. If I do more good than bad, then I'll make it. Then I'll be all right with God. Well, I just came to tell you what the Bible tells you tonight. I know it's changed from what those rituals are from the Old Testament to the New, but it's the same principle. It's the same principle. None of that can never take away sin or make you right with God. Are you still with me tonight? There's only one thing that can, amen? You can, listen, you can have every, you can eat every wafer in the world, and that might be all right if it's in banana pudding. Somebody say amen on that. You can get baptized so many times that you would know every tadpole by name. But I'm like, hey, you can do more good works than Mother Teresa, but I'm going to tell you what, none of it can never, ever make you right with God. There's only one thing it can. His name is Jesus. Amen. The perfect Lamb of God, the sacrifice that went to that cross in your place, in my place, and paid my sin debt for us through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection, his shed blood at Calvary, we can be made right with God. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. Amen. And so the same truth, never, the straightest never is simply this. Hey, none of that can take away my sin, but thank God Jesus can. His sacrifice on Calvary, it is sufficient. But look down verse 12 with me while we're still in the same chapter, because I love what it says here. Look what it says. Don't believe me when I'm saying, listen to it. But this man, talking about Jesus, but this man, it's already told us, none of those works can make us right with God. None of those works can take away sin. But this man, verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 10, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, you know, in that Old Testament, they'd offer those things, it would cover sin for a year. None of them could remove it, amen. But this man, when Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God, offered one sacrifice for sins for how long? What does it say? Forever. Sat down on the right hand of God. That man offered one sacrifice. No more is needed, amen. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Notice what it says. He sat down. He sat down on the right hand of God. Right hand of God's a place of power, position, and authority. If you study that out sometime, a place of honor. And why did he sit down? Because it is finished. Amen. It's done. His sacrificial sacrifice was over. And so here's the question tonight. Have you trusted in his finished work? Not your good works. Not what you think can earn your way to heaven, because there's nothing that will. Amen. Have you trusted in his finished work on the cross? As his shed blood is atonement for your sins. Have you been forgiven? I love in verse 17, we'll hit that before we go on to the next point, but because here's what he promised. If you have, listen to this, and their sins and iniquities, for those who trusted in Christ and his final sacrifice, the one sacrifice forever, will I remember no more. Isn't that good news? Now, I've heard that preached so many times through the years, and I'm not here to criticize preachers and all that. God forgot your sins. My God's an all-knowing God, amen? He's never forgotten anything, but he chooses, think about this, he chooses not to remember. He looks at us and says, hey, it's covered by the blood. That's under Jesus, amen?
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that tonight. And you know, he didn't forget them. He just chooses to remember no more. You know, when you think about the Old Testament, those sacrifices and what they were doing, it kind of reminds me of my two boys growing up. And I'll pick on Kevin since he's up this way and comes to church here. I know he's not here tonight, but hey, y'all pick on him when you see him, amen. Because Kevin was one that was bad. I'd say, you know, you need to sweep that floor. And he'd sweep it. We had these hardwood floors and had this, you know, one of them drop-down rugs, whatever you call them, throw rugs, whatever, throw across the room, throw it out rugs. That's what we're getting ready to do with one right now. But and I noticed a couple times after he'd sweep, I guess he couldn't find the dustpan or didn't know what to do. I didn't give him enough instructions or something. But on the edge of one of those rugs, there's a little mole, or like a heel there. I picked that thing up and under the floor looked good other than that. Pick that rug up. All that dirt he swept was right there under that rug. That's kind of what the Old Testament rules and religion. That's what so many of the new today's rituals and rites and you play with these beads. All this stuff that's out there, people think is going to make them right with God. Apart from Jesus, all you're doing is sweeping it under a rug. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, you pick up the rug, the dirt's still there. But thank God, hey, when you trust in Christ, it's gone. Amen. And he remembers it no more. Hey, you can put lipstick on a pig, but I'm going to tell you what, at the end of the day, a pig, he's still a pig. Amen. So don't dress it up. Hey, get it settled, and that's Jesus. Aren't you glad that what we couldn't do for ourselves, what we could never do for ourselves, Jesus did. All the works, all the rites, all the rituals could never, under any circumstance, in any way, in any place, by any means, make me right with God. But thank God, Jesus did. Amen.
Amen.
The straightest never. All right, flip with me. We'll go to the second one tonight. After the straightest never, we're going to go look at what I simply call the simplest never. The simplest never. Flip over to John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6. And we'll look down at verse 35 together. John chapter 6 and verse number 35. There's somewhat of a logic I'm trying to go to tonight. So let me just say this. Now we understand we're a sinner, right? There's nothing we can do to ever make us right in the sight of God. And there's nothing we can do to ever earn to take away sin other than trust in Jesus. So now we understand our goodness is not good enough. Then we start to understand, and you had this place in your life if you're saved tonight. You understood there was something missing. There was a hole in my life. There's a void in my life. And I'm a sinner, and there's something missing. And so we get to John chapter 6 and verse 35. We're going to see what that was. And this hole, this void we couldn't fill. Listen, we were created not just by God. We were created for God. Amen. I was created by a holy God. And contrary to what some of the smiley TV preachers may say, we weren't created for our own pleasures. We were created for His pleasure.
That's right.
His pleasure. And that's the, you don't believe me, like Revelation 4:1. There you go. I told you I was going to preach out Revelation. But thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's what we were created for His pleasure. You and I were created to bring pleasure to the heart of God Himself. But here's the problem. After creation, man sinned, and you know that how that happened in the garden. We won't go into all that tonight, but and that sin left a vacuum, if you would, left a hole in man's heart, right in the middle of us. That picture like a jigsaw puzzle. It's a jigsaw puzzle, and if you ever put one, the, there's a piece missing right in the center. That's kind of a picture of a man without God, and you can watch people all over the world that don't know Jesus. They're trying to fill that with something. I mean, you can go down the whole list. Drugs, alcohol, groups, teens, whatever. They're trying to fill that hole with something. And the only thing that's ever going to fill it is Jesus. Amen. And so that's what they're trying to do. And there's this vacuum there. And no matter how good we look, no matter how much money we have, no matter, listen, how successful we are, what kind of car we drive, there's nothing that's going to fill that hole except Jesus. That's man without God. So the Bible depicts this, as we get over to John chapter 6, in a lot of different ways. It depicts us as a hunger that can't be fed, that hole, that void that's in us. It depicts us as a thirst that cannot be quenched. It depicts it as a longing or a desire that cannot be met. And that's how we are apart from Jesus. We have a hunger that we can't feed, a thirst that we can't quench. We have a longing or a desire that we can't meet. Maybe today we put it this way. We got an itch we can't scratch. Amen. And thinking about it that way. Something wrong or something missing, a hole right in the center of your life. How many of you remember that? Before you were saved, there was something. You didn't know what it was. Because yeah, you weren't there yet. But boy, I'm telling you, aren't you glad you found it?
Amen.
It was Jesus. Amen. And I certainly am. And that's how people live. That's why they're trying to feed and scratch and thirst and fill that with something else. But it's never going to be filled apart from Jesus. So we get to John chapter 6, verse 35. We see that second never, the simplest never. Look over for me. It says this, and Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall, say with me, never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall, say with me, never thirst. So there's those two. What do you know what Jesus said he'll do for you? He will feed that hunger. He will quench that thirst. He'll scratch that itch. He'll fill that hole, that longing that's in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, you will never, in no case, in no wise, not under any, at any time, in any place, under any conditions, totally impossible to ever hunger or thirst again for that centerpiece when Jesus is in it. Amen. Because he'll fill it up completely. And I'm thankful for that. I got the answer for what was missing. That was Jesus. And I hope you got it too tonight. The simplest never. See, we'll get a little quicker as we go through these. So let's make sure you're tracking. Make sure you're with me now. We understand from the first one. Listen, there's no amount of works or rites or rituals we can do that'll ever make us right with God, that'll ever take sin away. That's the straightest never. We also understand no matter how, where we look, no matter what we do, no matter where we go, there's a hole missing, a void missing, that hunger and a thirst that we have that can never be quenched or satisfied apart from Jesus. The simplest never. And so once we have that now, I want to go show you some good news. Look with me at John chapter 10. Flip over to John chapter 10. We're going to look at what I call the securest never. So I realized I had a problem, and I couldn't be right with God, and I couldn't have my sins removed. And then I realized there was a hole in my life, and there was a hunger that I was thirsty for, and there was a food I was hungry for, and there was things I was thirsting for, and there was satisfaction and longing in my heart that was missing. And all of that brought me to the place where I trust Jesus. Now I'm saved. I've called upon the name of the Lord. I've trusted in Him and Jesus alone, His finished work, His death, burial, and resurrection. I've gotten saved. Now, once you're saved, listen to this never. This, I love this one. John chapter 10, the securest never. What do I mean by that? I mean by security. For those of us that come to Jesus by faith, not only will we never hunger, not only will we never thirst again, but we will also never perish. Read this with me. John chapter 10 and verse 28. The Bible says this, and I give unto them eternal life. Well, let me just help you. How long is eternal life? Real quick. And it's pretty simple, right? That's forever. And they shall, what's that next word? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is Jesus talking. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. So put this together with a definition now. We shall never, not under any circumstance, definition of it, not in any way, not by any person, place, or time, not by any means, totally impossible for us who've come to faith in Jesus Christ to ever perish. Isn't that the securest ever? Isn't that good news? See, after you come to Jesus by faith, He places you in an all-omnipotent, all-powerful God the Father's hands. That's what Jesus said. He said, hey, you're saved. You're in an all-powerful God the Son's hand. You're in my hand, He said. And then He said, you're also in an all-powerful God the Father's hand. You know what I'm in? I heard one preacher one time say it, and I've used it forever. I'm in two fistfuls of omnipotence. Amen. So think about this. If I'm in that, the only way I can get unsaved is to overpower an all-powerful God the Father and get out of His hand somehow. Still got another problem. I'm in an all-powerful God the Son's hand. We just read it, didn't we? Somehow I can overpower Him too. Guess what? If I could even, as silly as that sounds, overpower both of them. I still got a third problem, because the day I got saved, I got dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm sealed until the day of redemption. I got to evict Him out of my, an all-powerful God, the Holy Spirit out of my life too somehow. Here's what I'm just trying to say. Hey, you are safe and secure in Jesus. Amen. Hey, when you get to the end of the rituals and the rites and all that, and all this works out, you think you got to do, or you got to do to be saved, or get right with God, or wash things away, and you realize it's only Jesus, 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 Jesus alone. You trust in Him. Hey, you're saved and you're secure and you're safe forever. You're in the all-powerful hands of an almighty God. Now, I like that when I think about the hands of God, a couple of just quick truths. I thought about this. I thought, you know what? They're never full. I'm going to be thankful for that. He said, what's that mean? That means there's room for you.
Amen.
I can stand up here with 100% confidence and tell you, if you invite Jesus come into your heart, if you realize you're a sinner and put your trust in Him and Him alone, He'll save you right now, right where you sit, right wherever you listen online. Hey, it's not about some magic prayer. It's about you understand, I'm a sinner that needs a Savior. Jesus is His name, and I'm putting my trust in Him. He'll save me. It's that simple. We try to make this stuff so complicated. That's all it is. Amen. His hands are never full. He'll save you. It wasn't for just some select few either. Amen. He died for the sins of the whole world. And they're also never forever. I thought about that. You know, the older I get, the weaker I get. I used to, every once in a while, laugh. My wife would bring me stuff, jars and stuff to open. Now she brings them to me, and I can't open them either. And we get out, you know, those little gripper things and all that. And sometimes I got to go all the way out the garage and get channel locks. Now maybe I have to do that every once in a while. Because that thing's going to open, by golly. It's going to open, but I found the older I get, the weaker my hands of God. I can't do what I used to do. And aren't you glad God's hands don't get frail like ours does? His hands are just as strong as they ever were. Hey, He's never going to lose grip, is what I'm trying to say. He's never going to get arthritis. His hands are never full. They're never frail. They're just as strong as they were the day He created this world. And I wrote this one also. And from His hands, we will never fall. Amen. You will never, not under any circumstance, not in any way, not by any person, place, time, not by any means, it's totally impossible for us to perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You know, some people get the mistaken notion, I believe, that, you know, all right, I got saved by the grace of God, and I'm saved, and, you know, I believe in security until I mess up. You ever had somebody do that? Well, I believe I sinned, and now I got to get saved again, or something like that they believe in. And, you know, here's what they're saying. They're saying God brought me. I'm telling you what, you were in there to say. I, in fact, believe the Bible teaches the exact opposite of that. Once you're saved, you know what happens when you mess up? I didn't say if. Y'all notice that, right? I said when we mess up. You know what happens? He doesn't drop us out of those all-powerful hands. You know what he does for a truly saved one? He squeezes. You know the Bible word for that? It's called chastisement. And that's not taking out the woodshed to beat you, as a lot of preachers have to preach. That's to teach you and nurture and admonition, because he wants to correct you. It's loving correction. He loves you so much, you know what he does? He actually squeezes you harder when you mess up, so that you'll fess up and that you'll get back on the right path and fellowship with him. In fact, Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Hey, one of the great ways to know you're saved is you mess up, you feel about that, Paul, right away, the Holy Spirit convicts you of that, that's chastening. Hey, you have to thank God for that, because he loves you so much to not leave you there. And he just wants fellowship back with you. And he wants that fellowship back, right? But you're never going to lose that salvation. Amen. He don't drop you. He just squeezes you harder. The securest never. Praise God, we're in there to stay. Amen. We have the straightest never, the simplest never, the securest never. Y'all got time for two more? We got time for two more? Hey, I'm going pretty fast. We're all right. Let's go. these will be fast. How about this? This one I call the sweetest never. I got 27. We can go for a long time if you want. But the sweetest never. Flip with me over to Hebrews 13:5. Back to Hebrews here. You go to Hebrews 13:5. You know this verse. And I could quote it, you could go with me, but I want you to read it for a particular reason tonight. Number one, I want to emphasize the word never again. But number two, we're going to do something, a little different exercise here in just a moment, but I want you to have it in front of you so you can do that with me. See, we got saved, got placed in the all-powerful God the Father's hand, God the Son's hand, and we're in there to stay, amen. It will never leave us nor forsake us once we're in there. Read it with me. Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, here it is, I will, what's that next word? Never. There it is. Not in any way, not in any wise, not by any person. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you this? That promise is as good forward as it is backwards. Look at it with me. I want you to do this. The devil plays records backwards. I used to say, I never had one do that, but they give you a message. Well, God can give you a message backwards too. Let's read this one backwards. Instead of I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, read it with me. Thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. Amen. That's as good coming as it is going. Amen. That promise is good both ways. I just want you to know, we can count on that. You know, people may walk out on you. People may forsake you. Jesus never will. Not at ever, not at any time, in no case, not at all, in no degree. Don't hold your breath. Remember the synonyms? No way, not on your life, not under any condition, not at any time, not at any place, not any person, not by any means. Totally impossible for him to ever leave you or forsake you. The sweetest never. It didn't get sweeter than that, does it? Think about that. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Finally, let's finish this one. Flip with me to Matthew chapter 7, because we're going to go from the sweetest one to what I call the saddest one. The saddest never. Matthew chapter 7. The saddest number. I'll be quiet until I hear the Bibles stop flipping, and I'll know you're somewhere in the vicinity. It is in the New Testament, just a couple of times. Matthew chapter number 7. Look down verse 22 when you get there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. This is what I consider the saddest number. Just to give you context here, I understand he's actually writing, this is written, being spoken to false teachers, people who aren't real believers that are teaching a false gospel, and it's two false teachers in context, but the application certainly applies to anybody who doesn't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 22, the Bible says this, Many will say to me, Jesus said in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done marvelous or many wonderful works? Look at verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, what's that next word? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Never knew you. The absolute saddest never in the Bible. You know, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're relying on all that other stuff we talked about tonight, some type of religious works or rites or doing this or water or wafers or, you know, all this other stuff out there that doesn't mount to a hill of beans when it comes to having sin removed and you be made perfect before God, can I tell you, you will probably hear that. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, but Lord, I was a church member. But Lord, I got baptized. Did you ever trust Jesus? That's the answer. Hey. Now here's the greatest part. Nobody has to hear this. Nobody does. He died for the sins of the whole world. So if you've never had a time and a place where you got it settled for the Lord, where you realized, hey, you're a sinner separated from the thrice holy God, and that you needed a Savior, his name is Jesus, and you put your trust in him, then why don't you get that settled tonight? So that you will never hear the saddest number. Well, I don't want anybody to hear that one. Because I can tell you what, Jesus loved you so much, he made a way so you would never have to hear it. I like how Paul put it. Paul just laid things black and white. He told us in Romans 10, and he told us this. He said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he put it in a little more succinct. The one I like the most, Romans 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, that's the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I confess that with my mouth, that Jesus Lord. I believe in my heart. It's not just words. It's not just saying a prayer. It's believing in what you're believing, trusting in your heart that God's raising from the dead. Listen to the end of it. Thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Hey, you want to have your sins removed. You get his righteousness, he takes your sin. Isn't that great business transaction ever? Put your trust in Jesus if you haven't. So you will never hear the saddest ever. Father, we sure do love you. We thank you for our time together. Thank you for the nevers of the Bible, Lord. That was just a few of them. Thank you for how much we can learn just by studying a word throughout the Word of God. And I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that I'm safe and secure because of Jesus. I'm thankful that I have a Savior who will never leave me nor forsake me, Lord. And I'm thankful I'll never have to hear those words, depart from me, for I never knew you, because, Lord, I put my trust in you. We have a relationship. You're my Savior. I am God's son. I've been adopted into the family. And it's all because of Jesus, not because of me. Lord, if there's one here or listening online who's never put their trust in you, Lord, right now, I pray that they just pray from their own heart. Say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. They put all their weight and trust in the fact that you died for them, was buried, rose again, and they could become part of the family of God as well. Thank you for the nevers.